All right. Well, today we're in the fourth week of our series called God of the Impossible. And what we're doing, we've been taking a different area and we're talking how God wants to do the impossible. And when you came in this morning, you may have seen the chalkboard. And if you're kind of wondering what in the world that is, let me kind of catch you up a little bit. We started out the series with just this declaration that God wants to do the impossible. And we challenged people in week one to begin writing down, like, what are some of those impossible things in your life? What are some of those impossible things in your sphere of influence, in this church, whatever it is, and to write those down on a chalkboard. And this series is kind of like a prayer, because what we've been doing is we've been praying over these things and just trusting and really daring to ask God to do the impossible in those situations, in those circumstances, in the lives of those people. And so my hope is that what started out as a board that of the impossible things would start to become a banner that displays God's strength and how God has been at work. So you're welcome to keep writing stuff down. And there's nothing magical about chalk on a chalkboard. But we just believe when we commit those things to prayer, like God really does want to move as we ask. So anyway, that's what we've been up to. And this series is really all about, we've been asking this question, does God really want to do the impossible in my life today? I mean, we read about all this in the Bible, but does God really want to do the impossible? And so, you know, we look at all in the Bible, there's all these stories of how God in his character, he kind of has a track record of coming through in people's lives. I'm really making a way when all reason and all logic seems impossible. In fact, we think in the, just think of some stories in the scripture in the very beginning of time. It says in the very first part of the Bible, Genesis chapter 1, that in the beginning there was God, right? And there the earth was formless and void. In other words, there was nothing that existed but chaos. It was nothing. But in the moment God spoke, he spoke life into existence. And his very spoken word, all of a sudden, all these things start popping up. Everything that was created, everything that exists was created out of nothing. Pretty cool. And then we get to, you know, think of a story like the Israelites. God's freed them from slavery in Egypt, and they're wandering in the wilderness before they get to the promised land. And they find themselves in this gap where all of a sudden they're in a desert. God's like kind of led them there, and they realize they've got no food and they've got no water. And they start to kind of turn on their leader, Moses, kind of like, Moses, I can't believe you led us here. Like, we had it so much better when we were back in slavery. We at least had food. And so they're looking at their situation and the gap in their life where there was no provision. And they started to kind of cry out and say, God, we are going to die. And it was one of those things where in the middle of that, every single morning, they would wake up, they'd go out of their tent, and all of a sudden, God had sent down this quail and this manna, this bread-like substance that had fallen down from heaven that they could just scoop up every single day. And God gave them enough to eat for the day, and then God would do it again the next day. And every single day, God showed them in the middle of what seemed like complete scarcity that God provided an abundance. And then I think of stories where God called out to people. God reached out to people like Moses and Isaiah, people like the disciples. When they looked at their lives, God called them to do something that was so much bigger than them. And all they could see in their life was, God, I can't do that. I feel inadequate to do that. Anybody felt like that before when God's called you to do something? Yeah, all of us, right? All of us have felt these inadequacies of maybe where we're going and where God is leading us. And this was their story. And as they took their inadequacies and their unqualified nature, when they stepped out in faith with God, all of a sudden God filled in the gaps of their weaknesses and God did the impossible. I tell you all this because God just has this track record of taking taking anything that's empty and filling it, taking anything that's broken and making it whole. And the biggest thing we celebrate is that God can take something as final as death, and he can turn it around and turn it into a resurrection, which we celebrate and really why we're here. And so does God want to do the impossible in your life and my life? You better believe it. Like, God wants to do that. And so the thing is, the thing that I know is that when God gets involved, when we look at the scarcity of our life and what we don't have and what we're not enough, God can take your little bit and make it a lot. God can take your little bit and make it a lot when he gets involved. And I want you to know that God loves to work in a way that demonstrates his glory that we just sang about and his power and his love in your life. He loves to come through. And so today, what we're doing is we're talking about the area of our life, the area of our life where we tend to struggle with most, an area where we seem to encounter some pain in our life or in our family, and that's the area of our finances and the area of our resources. And it's one of those things where some of you are like, yep, I know that pain, right? What we're really talking about, though, today is what God can do with our limited resources. What God can do with our limited resources. And, most of us have been in seasons of our life, or maybe we're there right now, where, we've needed God to do the impossible in that area. Like, you look at who you are, your resources, you look at and you realize, what I have is not enough. And sometimes that's financial. Sometimes that's another thing. It could be like, hey, there's just a resource that I need to do what God's called us to do, or to do something in our family, whatever it is. And there's this gap. There's this deficit between where you are and what you need, right? And it's one of those things, I think there's a truth I want to lay out here that may be encouraging. And it's this, is that everybody has limited resources. Now, you may think, well, that's not encouraging, right? But everybody has limited resources. Sometimes we look around at Bill Gates and other people and, man, if I only was like that, then we'd be good. If we only had more, we would be great. But the truth is, every single person on this earth has limited resources that God has put into our hands, that God wants us to use and manage. And it's one of those things that amazing things can happen when we start to realize that our limited resources, whatever they are that God has put into our hands, our gifts, our talents, our finances, our relationships, God puts them in our hands. And when we realize that our limited resources are connected with a God who owns everything in heaven and on earth, then we start to see it very, very differently when we have a gap in our life. Because we start to realize that, okay, my limited resources are connected to a God who is limitless in resources. All right, God can come through. And so it really changes the way we manage our finances and the way we live when you start to realize that God is your source. And everything else is just a resource. And so this piece of paper that we call money, all of a sudden we start to view it differently. It's just a tool. It's a resource because God is our source. And so I think there's really three main reasons that we oftentimes find ourselves struggling in this area of our finances or with the resources. Well, what we have doesn't seem to be enough. And the first reason, you all know these, they all start with C, so I'm going to be a good preacher and make it match a little bit. But anyway, the first reason that we tend to struggle with our finances, our resources, is this: crisis. Crisis. You all know this. There's an emergency that happens in our life that we weren't prepared for. I mean, it could be an emergency like, story to tell you, this past week I'm driving my kids to the childcare to go to my mom's house and I'm waiting to turn and all of a sudden, boom, my car gets just completely hit from behind. They may end up getting totaled. So just pray that doesn't happen because that wouldn't be good. But anyway, it's just one of those things it was a crisis I was not prepared for. I was not ready for. So I've been online trying to figure out if they total my car, what could I get for the amount of money they're going to, sometimes there's crisis that happens. Or maybe there's a death in the family. There's something that happens in our lives that just, it happens and we weren't prepared for it. And sometimes we might have not been saving for it, but sometimes we could have been saving and saving and saving and saving and a crisis hits and it's more than what we have and more than what we can bear. And so maybe that's why we feel stuck financially, because of a crisis. Here's the second reason why we sometimes feel this tension in our finances and what we have is this. Number two is consumerism. Consumerism. Now this by saying consumerism, it feels like pointing the finger at culture, right? But it's really an opportunity for turning the mirror on ourselves. Because it's really a thing where so many of us have bought into this lie, have bought into the culture of consumerism, right? Where in so many ways, maybe we overspent our way into a hole. Maybe we find ourselves in some debt. Students, if you're getting ready to go to college, did you know so many of us, we start our lives and our family lives out with some debt because student loans, right? On average, when students graduate from college today, on average, about $27,000 is the debt that's been accrued. So, and then you get into family life and stuff. And it doesn't even stop there because I don't know about you, but when I was in college, I remember there were these, there's a whole lot of things that were out there, like free t-shirts, you know? Some of you know what I'm talking about, but the credit card companies are ready to sign you up, you know? They're ready to get that free t-shirt. So I was like, oh, I'll get one of those, you know? And it's one of those things where sometimes we've overspent our way into a hole. In fact, most Americans live on 110% of what they make, and they put the rest on credit. And so maybe it's just consumerism. And I think really, it's not really about the action of what happens, but it's really, I think, a thing in the heart. Because so many times, I think the American dream that so many of us are after, the American dream oftentimes says that I'll be happy, I'll be content if I only had fill in the blank. If I only had newer, if I only had bigger, if I only had better, if I just had more. But the problem with more is that more is never enough. God wants to show you that he's enough. And so sometimes we find ourselves what looked like the American dream, and all of a sudden starts to look more like an American nightmare, consumerism. Hey, these are just some reasons. Some of you are like, yeah, don't talk about it. We know. You know. Here's the third reason, and this is going to really, really surprise you. The third reason we find financial stress or struggle, or maybe where things feel tense and tight, is because of a call of God. What? I mean, a call of God, that doesn't mean, well, here's what I mean by that. Sometimes there's a call of God where God calls us to, and stretches us and stretches our resources. Where maybe, all that we can see on the surface is our limited resources that God's put into our hands. And all of a sudden, in the middle of this, we look at all the things we don't have. But in the middle of that, God kind of taps us on the shoulder and says, hey, I want to invite you to be a part of something bigger. I want you to give to something bigger, and it's a call of God. Or maybe God invites us to become more generous in some kind of way. Or to maybe to take a step of faith and to trust him in some kind of way that maybe on the surface doesn't make any sense at all. And so God, in that time, it all seems great. You know, it's like, okay, God, I got my little things you put in my hand, the limited resources, and then you're calling me to be a part of something bigger. And we say, okay, God, that sounds nice, but it's not going to happen, you know, but it's one of those things like, how in the world will this happen? Because sometimes it's the call of God. And in those times when God calls us to stretch in some kind of way, it's not because God's after our money or God's after our resources. It's because God is usually wanting to stretch you and to grow you and to grow your faith and your trust in him. And when you take a step of faith, God almost always shows up and shows that he's faithful. And so the thing that I want you to know this morning is, it's really kind of an encouraging thing this morning, is that so many miracles in the Bible started with a limited resource and a step of faith. So many miracles happen with a limited resource and a step of faith. And that's what we're talking about today in our story. We're going to look at a story in the Bible from 2 Kings chapter 4. So if you have your Bibles, you can turn there. 2 Kings chapter 4. This may be an unfamiliar story or maybe a less familiar story for you. But it's a story of how God did an incredible, incredible work in somebody's life, how he worked a financial miracle. And it's the story of this woman who was facing a great, great need, a financial need. And you're going to see why in just a minute. But she found that like what she had just was not enough. And there was like no other way to like say that. Like what she had didn't make sense. It wasn't enough. But with her limited resource and a step of faith, how God showed up in a powerful way. So let's go ahead and read this story. 2 Kings chapter 4, starting with verse 1. Here's the context. Here's what it says. It says, the wife of a man from the company of the prophets cried out to Elisha. Now, before we read this, let me tell you who Elisha is. Elisha is, you probably have heard in the Bible, there's Elijah and Elisha, right? Now, of course, you don't say it exactly like that, but Elijah and Elisha. Elijah came first. Elijah was this amazing prophet of God, and he had just been carried up to heaven, but he had trained, if you will, Elisha to be the next prophet. And God had said, Elijah, I want you to anoint Elisha. This gets a little bit confusing. It's like, you know, couldn't you name him something different, Lord? You know, but anyway, Elijah anoints Elisha to be the next prophet. He kind of has these miraculous powers and stuff like that. So instead of hearing from God and speaking to the people, God spoke to the people through Elisha, through miracles. And so Here's what happens. Let's read again. The wife of a man from the company of the prophets cried out to Elisha, the prophet, "Your servant, my husband, is dead. And you know that he revered the Lord." This is the woman saying this. "But now his creditor is coming to take my two boys as his slaves." Now, this is like, if you've ever like jumped into a story and it's like, man, that's a lot of stuff that's happening, right? This is a big, big problem. Well, so we see with this woman, she found herself with this huge financial need. And it wasn't because she'd overspent herself into a hole. It was because of, number one, a crisis. She found herself in a crisis that she didn't expect. She didn't plan where what she had wasn't enough. And the crisis was this, is that her husband, who was kind of traveled with Elisha in his prophetic ministry, her husband was dead. He had died. And in the middle of this, she finds herself in this tremendous debt, is kind of this picture that we get. So her husband's dead, tremendous debt. And it kind of, we don't really know from this story, we don't know kind of the context of what this debt came from. It could have been that like, hey, this was like her husband's debt, and maybe it just like all of a sudden it just, you know, came into her life like that. But it may have been that just this tremendous crisis caused a huge financial gap in her life, and she found herself saying, "Lord, what I have is not enough," and the creditor comes. And this is kind of an interesting story for those of us in the 21st century, because the creditor is coming to take her two boys. Now, most of us will say, call the cops, right? You know, get after them. But back in, I'm just trying to make sure y'all are awake. But most of us kind of like, that's weird. But in this culture, this was kind of a normal thing, is people would trade people as slaves and they would make money off of it. And so the creditor looks and the woman doesn't have very much. So, hey, I'm going to take your two sons and I'm going to sell them. So this is kind of where we start. Huge gap of what she had wasn't enough. And so here's how the story continues. 2 Kings chapter 4, verse 2. It says this. Elisha replied to her, "How can I help you? Tell me, what do you have in your house?" "Your servant has nothing there at all," she said, "except a small jar of olive oil." Elisha said, "Go around and ask all your neighbors for empty jars. Don't just ask for a few. In other words, I want you to ask for a whole lot of jars." Verse 4. "Then go inside and shut the door behind you and your sons. Pour oil into all the jars, and as each is filled, put it to one side." And so this is kind of an interesting thing that's going on here, because, you know, all this woman could see, did you see in her response? All this woman could see was what she didn't have. This is kind of how we oftentimes see, is like our limited view of our limited resources is, God, I don't really have much to work with. All she could see was the gap, the deficit, the need that she couldn't fill on her own. And so she comes to Elisha, and her words are very interesting. It's almost like she's saying to Elijah and saying to the Lord, "Lord, this need in my life is greater than what I've got." And she says something interesting. She said, "I have nothing." She's like, except. I have nothing except. And so she kind of speaks this word where she didn't think, at first she didn't think she had anything, but then she starts saying, "Well, except I've got this small jar of our olive oil and a big need, big gap of what's needed." And we've all been there before, haven't we? We've all been there where what we have isn't enough, where it feels like there's this huge need, there's this huge gap, and here we are carrying this little tiny jar. And it's like, how in the world is this going to help? How in the world is this going to do anything? And it's one of those things where it could be in our finances, it could be resources in some kind of way. But in those seasons, it's easy to think, "Lord, if I just had more, like if I just had more, then I could meet that need." And this is how we manage our finances and our resources so many times, thinking that it's all about us meeting our needs. Because so many times we think that, you know, especially as guys, like, I'm supposed to be a provider and, you know, it's my job to hold things up and to hold things together. And there's truth to that. We should be wise and we should do that. But so many times we leave God out of the equation. Because the truth is, sometimes God will put certain needs before you that are so much bigger than you can handle on your own, so much bigger than what you could do on your own. And in those times, the Lord does that to teach you something really important, that He is enough and that He provides. And so here this woman is saying, "Lord, I don't know. I have nothing except." Now, so that was her story. Then you look at Elisha and his response, and Elijah says, well, let me talk about that exception. I want to use that exception. I have nothing except, well, I want to talk about that exception. And he says, well, let's take out this jar, this small jar of olive oil that you don't think is useless, that is useful at all. Let's talk about that. Because he's bringing this up and he's saying, look, you've got something. And because you've got something to work with, God can work with that. And the truth is, it was her exception that she thought was completely useless. You know, I was like, God, what are you going to do with something like this when I've got this huge, huge need? It was that exception that God worked through to perform a huge miracle in her life. And so sometimes it's one of those things where people oftentimes excuse themselves from the miraculous. Because we look at our lives and say, well, God, I don't have a lot to work with. Or God, I don't have, you know, a lot to offer you to work through. And in those times, I mean, it could be it's a lack of skills. Could be a lack of resources. It could be a lack of experience. Whatever the reason. You know, what we oftentimes don't realize is the very thing that we think is an exception. I don't have anything except. Might be the very thing that makes you the candidate for God and his power to work through your life. God wants to do the impossible through that. In fact, Elisha, what does he say to this woman? He said, well, what's in your house? What's in your house? He made her look at what she had. And it's kind of interesting because God has a track record of doing that. You may remember, there's a lot of stories where God says, hey, what's in your house? What do you have? Because in Exodus chapter 4, Moses, you may remember his story. God calls Moses like, hey, Moses, no big deal, but I'm calling you to go to like the biggest ruler in the land, Pharaoh, who's oppressing all of your people and all my people. And I want you to say, hey, let my people go. And Moses was a stutterer and he didn't think that anybody would, you know, kind of respect him or like, how am I going to make any difference at all? And so he's like, Lord, I don't know. And so God says to him something interesting. What's in your hand, Moses? What's in your hand? So to the woman, he says, what's in your house? What's in your hand to Moses? And Moses looks at it and he's like, Lord, it's just a rod. It's just a staff. But this very staff, this rod that Moses thought was so useless to God, it looked like a stick. It became the rod of God that as Moses used this rod of God, it became the exception that God used to part the Red Sea to allow his people to walk away from slavery and into their freedom. Then we think in the Gospels, many of you know this story. Jesus is teaching on a mountainside and he's teaching all these great things about what it means to follow God and be a part of his kingdom. And then one of the disciples kind of raises his hand and his belly's starting to rumble. And so he kind of puts it in a funny way. He says, Lord, I think all these other people are kind of hungry. You know, we kind of do that. Not me, but all these other guys, they're getting pretty hungry and there's no food around. And so they said, all we have, Lord, all we have is just these 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. And there were 5,000 men, probably more women and children. So all we have is this limited resource and we have all these people. And so you many of you know this story. Jesus says, well, bring them to me. And they bring him to Jesus. And I don't know what he does. I don't know if he like does a magic trick or whatever. But he says, well, now you go distribute them. They start passing them out, passing out all this food. And as they're passing it out, they realize that, you know, 1, 2, 3, 2,055, you know, whatever. They're passing this out. And all of a sudden, all these people not only had food, but all 5,000 plus people had enough. And there were crumbs left over even at the end. And it was this amazing story of how God provided. And so one of the greatest temptations, I think, for us is to focus only on what we don't have. Lord, I don't have this. Or maybe we focus on what we used to have. You know, that life we used to have and the resources we used to have and the people in our life that we used to have. Sometimes we also look around at other people. We start to be resentful to what we have and we start saying, God, I wish I had what they had, you know? Like, I wish I had the house they had. I wish they had the situation that they have. And we look at all those things when God might be looking to you and saying, well, no. What's in your hand? What's in your house? What's in your life? If you bring it to me, I want to use it. I want to use it. So here's the bottom line really for today is that what you have is enough for God. What you have is enough for God. But God, I don't have very much. I feel like I'm like that woman who's holding up this small jar of olive oil. What can you do? What you have is enough for God. See, what God's placed in your hand and in your house and in your life is the very ingredient that God wants to use to perform a miracle. And so Elisha says, okay, to this woman, go. I want you to go gather all these jars. Go to all your neighbors, knock on their door. So try this. Don't try this today. You know, you get shot around here. No. But anyway, gather all these jars. And I want you to ask, go to people. And I don't want you to gather just a little bit. Gather a whole lot of jars. And this is like kind of a crazy thing. Because this is one of those things where you know, God's saying, hey, get all these jars and I'm going to fill them. And this is the place in our life where we almost always stop. Like God calls us to something, it's like, that doesn't make any sense, and we stop. I mean, we get to a place where maybe we kind of look at that, and you know, obviously this is this step of faith, but to us, it kind of seems stupid. Like, that doesn't make any logical sense. That doesn't make any sense. Like, in fact, let's just think about this. It's a waste of time. I mean, there's no way that this is going to go into all of this. There's no way that, people are going to think as I knock on their door, they're going to laugh at me, right? And so the thing is, in order to experience miracles of God with your resources, so many times, as you take a step of faith, it might look really, really foolish. It might be something where in some kind of way, you realize that, God, I'm going to fall flat on my face if you don't show up and if you don't come through. And that's the very place that God wants us to have where he can show us that he can do the impossible. Now, here's the exciting thing. We're getting ready to go through a season in our church where we're going to experience this. We're launching in October our Imagine More capital campaign. And I want you to know right now, it is not about money. It's about people. It's about what God wants to do in people's lives. It's about what God wants to do in your life. And the thing that I know is as we seek to raise funds for the future home of our church, I'm excited about what God's going to do in that mission, but I'm also even more excited about what God's going to do in your life and in all of our lives. That where we are, we're starting out at a certain place, but as we go through this journey, there's going to be some growth that will happen that would not happen had we not taken a step of faith together. And so this is going to be an exciting season. So I'll share more with you about it. So just to tip that in there. But the thing is that most miracles of God start with a limited resource and a step of faith. And so here's how the story continues. 2 Kings 4, verse 5. It says this: she left him and shut the door behind her and her sons. They brought the jars to her and she kept pouring. So let me give you this picture. Because this is so silly. This is like David and Goliath kind of stuff. All right, God, here's my little resource, right? Here's all the jars you told me to get, you know? And she starts pouring. And number one gets filled. I can't do this miracle, so just pretend, right? She starts pouring, and all of a sudden, this first jar gets filled. The second jar gets filled all the way to the brim. The next one gets filled out of this little resource. And as she's pouring, she's probably thinking the same thing that you and I think. Is there going to be enough? I mean, surely I don't need all these jars. This is the silliest thing in the world. How in the world? Like, I'm still pouring, God, but she started probably, her tone and her mindset probably started changing as she realized that her little bit started to be multiplied even more. And she pours and she pours and she pours. And the interesting thing as she's doing all this, she realized that as she gathered all these jars that needed to be filled, she's probably thinking like, surely I won't need all these and all these things. But the thing is, she had the faith to take a step out with God and to start pouring out when it didn't make sense. Now, here's the thing. So many times in our lives, we're tempted in so many ways to kind of hold on to the little bit that we have. Thinking that like, God, this is just the little bit that I have in my hands. And if I pour out what you're calling me to do in any kind of way, then how will there be enough? How will there be enough for me? And it's one of those things where God wants to show us that he provides. So here's how the story continues. Verse 6, it says this: when all the jars were full, are you serious? She said to her son, bring me another one. But he replied, there is not a jar left. Then the oil stopped flowing. Verse 7. She went and told the man of God, that's Elisha, and he said, go sell the oil and pay your debts. You and your sons can live on what is left. Now, this is like a ridiculous miracle of God, because there's no way that this should multiply to all of this and probably even beyond. but God did a miracle. And the miracle wasn't just about the jars. As she was able to sell all these things that God provided, all of a sudden she realized that her debt was able to be paid off. And not only that, it was enough for her to live on the rest. God provided, and God provided an abundance. And so the thing that I want you to know is that God has a way of multiplying and providing. And so I've seen stories like this so many times in my life. I have to tell you, I remember growing up in church. There was this, I remember as a church growing up, we were praying for this mission team we were sending, probably to Nicaragua. I don't know exactly where we were sending, but probably there. But I remember we were praying as a church for this group that was going, and we were praying, God, we just pray that you would demonstrate your power and your glory and your love to these people. And so they went, and they were like ready to show people Jesus. But what we didn't expect is what God was going to do in the lives of the people that we sent. Because as they went, they came back and they shared the story and they said, you will not believe what happened. And like all of these people, some of these are like business people, are like, man, all logic, right? They're like, God showed up. Tell me about that. And so what they said is like, here's the thing. We made these sandwiches for these kids. There was all these kids that we were supposed to serve. We made these sandwiches. And a lot of these kids, they only get one meal a day if they're lucky. And so we were there like to be their provision, if you will. And so we packed all these sandwiches. We knew exactly how many sandwiches we had packed, how many were ready. That's all that we had. And then when all the kids started to show up, there was more kids than what we had sandwiches. And we started to get really, really worried, looking around and saying, God, how in the world is this going to happen? And feeling so, so discouraged. Like there's going to be some kids that walk away hungry. But they just felt like God was saying, I want you to serve them. And so they took the little bit they had and the more people that were there that needed to be fed. And every single kid went through the line as they gave a sandwich, 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 sandwich. Every single kid, as they counted the kids, was more than the sandwiches that they had. But all of a sudden, every single kid got a full sandwich that day. And they looked around and they were like, I don't know, like, what happened. And like some of them were like crying, like, that was only God. God came through. And I don't know. But it's one of those things where God's, like our math is not always God's math. That God can multiply and God can provide. And this is something that Mandy and I have learned in this last year. And I'm not just talking about giving and stuff like that. I'm just talking about what God can do with your limited resources. But let me tell you a quick story about giving that me and Mandy have learned in this last year. Y'all know, you know, I'm a preacher, she's a teacher. So, you know, you do the math on that. But one of the things that that we just have realized is, you know, we had a baby and she's sweet, but she's expensive. And and one of the things that happened is, you know, as a teacher, Mandy took a lot of maternity leave and you take a significant cut in pay. And so she's been like making half of her salary or something like that in this last year. And so for us, it's been super, super tight since like the fall. And we just kind of like looked at each other like, we're teammates, we're, you know, God's going to get us through all this and all this stuff. And so we just, you know, walked forward. And at the same time, we just really felt like we've been giving 10% or a little bit more of our income to the fountain, to God through the fountain, because we just believe in what God's doing here. And we just felt like, you know what, like, we don't want to change that even though we're making less. And so we just felt God saying like, I want you to continue giving what you've been giving. And we're like, okay, God, you know, we don't have that, but we're going to do that. And then there was a need that came up in the life of our church. And some of the people on our leadership team, I shared with them about that. And I told them, I feel like God's calling our family to be part of that. And I want to invite you to that as well. And that night, so many families stepped forward and said, I want to be part of that. And I was just so humbled by that. And it was one of those things where, okay, we're already giving more than what we really think we can do, but we felt God was calling us to take a step. And it was one of those very humbling moments where there were so many times in this last year that was super, super tight, but every single month God provided. Now we're thankful we're rolling out of that this next month, you know. But it's one of those things where we have learned how God can provide, how God can take the little bit that you have and God can make it a lot. And so here's what I want to encourage you about, is that really in my life, I've just seen how God has provided in so many ways that when God said, you know, God just wants us to trust him with our resource. And through all that, God wants to show us that he is our source. And the thing that I found is that almost every miracle in the Bible happened with a limited resource and a step of faith. So when you find yourself in a place where you have limited resources, it's time to get excited because it's the breeding ground for what God can do. As we take a step of faith with God, God can come through. Let me pray for us. God, we are so humbled and maybe even crazy to celebrate a story like this. Because God, we so many times we know that feeling where we feel like what we have is so limited. God, we are thankful so much for everything you put into our hands. But Lord, we sometimes find ourselves at a place, maybe even right now, where somebody in here, whether it's financially, relationally, some other way, where we feel like there's a limitation, where there's something we don't have. And God, I just pray that in the middle of that, that through the power of your Holy Spirit, that you would speak into the middle of that gap, that you would multiply when it doesn't make sense. And God, as we take a step of faith with our limitations, we pray that you would use us, that you would show your glory to us. And God, through that, God, that you would become and help us to realize that you are our source and everything else is a resource. We ask this in your name. Amen.